Welcome to the Around the Pit podcast, presented by Camp Chef, with your hosts, Kyle Andrus and Kate Huskinson.
Welcome back to the Around the Pit podcast, where we go over everything that you've ever wanted to know about outside cooking, cooking outdoors. We are here today with Brianna Stark from Married to Barbecue on... Woo! Yeah! Give it up!
We made it.
We made it. We're here. So on TikTok, on Instagram, on Threads, on Facebook, you're everywhere.
Yeah.
You're everywhere.
Everywhere. Anywhere I can post, I do pretty much.
Heck yeah. Well, and we're excited to have you out here today. We want to go over a few questions with you and really, you know, talk a little bit and help the people know a little bit more about you and your story and everything. I think it's really awesome. So, but first, we're going to have a quick question of the day. What is the most underrated cut of meat for barbecue? What do you guys think?
Barbecue, like low and slow smoking?
Low and slow smoking, yeah.
Probably beef cheeks.
Beef
cheeks? Honestly.
Really?
I think, I just don't think they're as popular. Like, they're pretty popular down where I live in Texas, but they are, like, tender as all get out. They're absolutely delicious. You can build a beautiful bark on them, and anything from, like, tacos, sandwiches, anything you want, like that shredded, juicy, moist meat. Like, I think beef cheeks are super underrated. But as far as like grilling goes, I think flat iron steaks.
Flat iron steaks.
Yeah.
Didn't you use flat iron for your Philly cheesesteaks?
Yeah, yeah. That was something we had at Butcher that recommended flat iron steaks for a Philly cheesesteak if we weren't doing ribeye, and we made it, and it was actually really good. It was soup. The marbling on it was insane.
Well, it's super lean, but it's super tender. You know, like it's they say that it's like the second most tender cut of steak after the filet mignon, but it's way more affordable because there's a lot more of it to go around. But I really like flat irons. I don't think they get enough love.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the one that we had, me and Mike made when we did our 100 cheesesteak video, it was fantastic. If it wasn't, you know, for the sliced ribeye, it probably would have been the one that we chose.
Yeah. No, so it's definitely a good one.
So what is the best thing you've ever made with beef cheek then? What's like, or how would you recommend doing it?
So I typically do it like, you know, they say smoke everything like a brisket. Like I literally just like salt, pepper, throw it on the smoker, smoke it low and slow around 225 and just let it break down and tenderize. Let it get up to 203, 205. Mm-hmm. And then it literally just shreds. A lot of times we'll use it for like tacos, you know, kind of like barbacoa and things like that. And, you know, a little cilantro, onion, salsa, and you're good to go. It's easy and it's super, super flavorful. It's affordable because it's not as much of a popular cut. And we always have it down in Texas like all the time.
So you just have out in like in the meat section, they have beef cheeks just out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You might have to go ask for it with the butcher might have to get it for you if you're not, you know, down in Texas. But
I think going to a butcher versus like a big box grocery store, like any butcher pretty much is probably going to have it, or they can bring it in pretty easily.
Yeah. Yeah. And because you...
Every cow's got two.
Exactly. We were talking about maybe they have four.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
the one, two, and then three and four. That's the rump roast. We already talked about that on the episode.
Yeah.
But beef cheek is something I've been really interested in because I saw George Barbecue, or not George Barbecue, George Kitchen.
Yeah.
Because he did a beef cheek empanada.
I saw that one.
That looked insane.
Dude, Jason does some crazy stuff.
Yeah, Jason,
I love his videos. Like, he is so creative. Yeah. and his video quality, but like some of the food he comes up with. But yeah, that beef cheek empanada, like I want to try that.
Yeah, that looks so good.
And it's a perfect meat for that because it's got a lot of like that kind of like moist sort of fatty sort of texture, and I think it would go really well with like the crispy empanada. Yeah, that's like a
Married to Barbecue
approved combo.
There we go. Boom. Seal of approval. And you never think that there would be enough meat right here.
Have you seen a cow?
I mean,
they're larger than you.
I mean, yeah, but still, like, that's, you wouldn't think that there'd be enough meat right there to make things.
They're not huge. They're good size. Like, a lot of people will take that and do that shot where they'll hold it in their hand and just squish it, and that'll be like the overhead shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After it's cooked?
Yeah.
They're squeezing all the
before
juices.
Yeah,
because it like shreds. So it's like shredding. You know how we just like shred pork butts on camera and all that? It's like similar, but they'll just...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's definitely... I don't think I've ever had beef cheek.
I don't think I've ever had it either.
We might have to do that. Do you think we could go grab some?
Yeah.
If you can find it, I'll throw it on the smoker while I'm here. I don't mind. I'm down.
Let's make some.
Get some tortillas, some cilantro, onion, beef cheeks. I got it.
Good. Maybe good. Awesome. Well... I kind of wanted to move on to kind of talking about you and how you got your start. how did you get into barbecue in the first place? Maybe people don't know your whole story or everything. So take us from the beginning. Like, how did you get into outdoor cooking and barbecue in general?
Well, outdoor cooking, I feel like I've done my entire life. I grew up camping with my dad a lot. I was in a program at the YMCA. It was like a father-daughter camping thing. And so I did it with my dad for years. And then my sister started doing it. And we'd be cooking out over, you know, like charcoal, like whatever the campsite had. Nothing fancy. Sleeping in tents. But as far as like barbecue in the sense that I do it now, my husband and I actually started doing competition barbecue back in like 2014.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. We had a buddy who did competitions and he invited us out and was like, hey, come cook with us, you know, whatever. And he started teaching us kind of the ins and the outs. And he's a big IBCA comp cook. And I do IBCA comps mostly.
So do you want to explain what that is?
Yeah, International Barbecue Cookers Association. Gotcha. So you'll see a lot of KCBS competitions, IBCA competitions, CBA competitions. Like, they're all sanctioned by different entities. IBCA is just, it's really popular in my area. Gotcha. In Texas. It's where you see us doing the half chickens versus the chicken thighs you'll see with KCBS. And
is KC's, is that Kansas City?
Yeah, Kansas City. Okay. Yeah, Kansas City Barbecue Society.
Awesome.
Yeah, and we do some KCBS a little bit here and there, a little bit of CBA, but IBCA is really my happy place. It's kind of where I grew in the competition world. But yeah, he taught us everything and we just like immediately fell in love with it. You know, it was our first comp with him and we walked and we got like second place ribs and third place chicken. And I think we hit grand champ, honestly. And it was like the coolest feeling. I couldn't take all the credit for it because we were really just kind of like, you know, his pit helpers because we were kind of learning. But yeah, he taught us a lot and we were like, we like this. This is fun. And so my husband is a welder by trade. So he started fabricating our pits and we were cooking on like homemade pits and going to competitions. And there were some times when we'd be sleeping in the truck with the pit rolling and we'd take off or switch off and take naps.
Take
and all
it's
that.
Your turn with the baby now. You have to go.
No, we didn't have a kid yet.
Yeah, you have to go. The baby is your barbecue.
Oh, yeah, that too.
It's your turn with the baby. Go take care of it.
Yeah, exactly.
A little spritzing. You got to go spritz the baby.
Yeah, but it was fun because we got to like kind of do it a lot together. And then after Grayson was born, you know, Andy was competing a lot more than me because, you know, you don't want a baby at a barbecue competition all weekend. So, we've just kind of evolved and we love competing. We still do it a lot. And then, you know, middle of 2021, beginning, middle, she posted a video on TikTok of us doing our competition style ribs. We had just bought a new barrel smoker, threw the ribs on. I filmed it and I did the same kind of voiceover that I do nowadays. Like, I think I started with like, these are Premier Cookers award winning baby back ribs. And this like, now I listen to it and I cringe because like, I'm like, ah. But I posted it and like went to bed, woke up the next day and 1.5 million
Holy
people
cow.
Had watched this video.
That's crazy.
And I was like, and before that on my TikTok, I think I just posted some random videos of me riding around on my four wheeler. Like, I wasn't trying to be a TikToker.
Yeah.
And it just went nuts. And I had like 30,000 followers overnight.
Wow.
And I was like, maybe
wow,
I should
crazy.
Lean in. Like, maybe this is something I should explore.
Well, that turned out to be a really good decision because now we were, what, 999,000 followers?
Something like that, yeah. About to roll over a million on TikTok.
That's insane. Like,
715,000 on Facebook, almost 250,000 on Instagram. Yeah, it's crazy. It's everywhere.
And so it was that one TikTok video, that one rib video that you did, and it just from there?
It just went nuts. And, you know, I looked at Andy, my husband, and I said, I want to do this. Like, this is fun. This is like, I enjoy sharing barbecue because it's something that I'm so passionate about. And not just because of my competition background, but I've also like worked in restaurants since I was like 16. So like, I really enjoy like food and understanding why we cook things certain ways. And so you'll see a lot of my like videos will be like my barbecue tips and tricks where I talk about sort of getting into a little bit of the meat science or like why we do certain things or how collagen gelatinizes when things are cooking and all of that kind of stuff because I nerd out on it. And then I found out that other people really enjoyed learning about that stuff too.
Yeah.
So I just kind of made my own little niche.
That's really cool because I mean, especially I feel like in those early days of TikTok too, like the 2020, 2021, where they were really like, a lot more explosive growth, I feel. And so just where you could go to bed and wake up with like 30,000 followers.
Yeah. I think it can still happen today. TikTok is really unique in that sense. I think that TikTok, like you have, if you just hit a good video, like where you're either educating people or entertaining people or in a perfect world doing both, there's still a ton of growth like on TikTok that can be had. You kind of have to hit the right you know, side mm-hmm. of the algorithm or whatever. But yeah. I think TikTok is really a great place for like organic growth because it doesn't confine you as much as like some other platforms do. But I also think that other platforms have really kind of been a little bit more flexible, like Facebook recently. You know, yeah. I just started Facebook in December and I'm up to like 715,000 followers. And I've built this amazing community over there of people that are really kind, really nice. They want to learn. They want to know more about me and why we do things. They have like requests of how do I do this? And can you tell me how to do this? Can you do a video on this? And it reminds me of kind of when I started TikTok. You know, I'm getting that kind of feeling there. So I think like other platforms are kind of evolving, maybe because of what happened on TikTok.
Yeah.
They want to mm-hmm. do a little bit more ability for people to grow organically and kind of find their communities and, you know, give them more exposure as long as you're making quality content that, you know, people want to watch.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And TikTok really has had a huge influence. We could go, I could go off forever, you know, social yeah. media manager and right. and a content creator over here.
I wouldn't be here if it weren't for TikTok. Like, yeah. let's be honest. I was never on Instagram. Like, yeah. I converted my old personal Instagram to my Married yeah. to Barbecue page because I never posted on it, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we could sit here talk about social media all day and go through it. But
it's
awesome that you had that experience too and got to where you are because of that.
So you... Had you barbecued anything before doing the competition stuff?
I mean,
or was that kind of your first?
More grilling, I think. We didn't own an offset. We had cooked on like barrels. I'd smoked briskets on like, you know, kettles and things mm-hmm. like that. But we didn't get into like the kind of stuff that I do now where you see me with the big custom yeah. offsets and vaults and all that stuff. But that kind of evolved over time. You know, when we started competing, our pits weren't what they are now. We didn't have a 30-foot enclosed trailer yeah. with a salad cooler and steam cap. We didn't have all that, you know. We didn't have the money for all that, but we also were young and we were just trying to get into it. So I think like it's funny, I was trying to pull photos the other day from like the old Facebook archives yeah. of my life, trying to find pictures of all of our old pits as they evolved over mm-hmm. the years, and I'm like, man, I really wish I took more photos back in the day yeah. because it's fun to watch how much, you know, we've grown, and then me and my husband getting older alongside.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean starting off and doing those barbecue competition right off the bat too with you know, you said you grew a little bit, but going immediately into there and having that be a launch off point kind of seems intimidating to me, at least, going in there where everyone's just like literally judging you on your food.
You know, you'd be surprised. I can only speak for obviously the community that I've found in the competition world, but mm-hmm. I find that people are actually like super supportive. Like, oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. we would
in
have
in person
teams...
they're supportive in comments there.
Yeah, social media is a totally different world. Like, yeah. social media is not like what I don't feel. I think the barbecue community on social media can be a good portrayal of how we absolutely. All kind of support each other. But social media as a whole is, yeah. you know, it's easy to yeah. say something behind a keyboard. But in the competition world, like we'd have teams like that we compete next to all the time and we'd be friends. We'd be sharing beers. We'd be sharing like, mm-hmm. oh, I left my chicken shears and my knife roll at home. Here, use mine. Like we were friends. You know what I mean? We are friends still, yeah. you know, to this day. And yeah, there's awesome. When you get higher levels, I'm sure there are teams that are more competitive and less competitive and things like that. But we've always pretty much had a good time with it. And it's a lot of fun, whether you win or lose and you grand champ or you don't. It's mm-hmm. it's still a good time. And you meet a lot of people and gain that's a lot awesome. Of friends, honestly.
Yeah,
that's fun. And so when it comes to that barbecue segment and doing all these competitions and stuff, can you kind of walk us through what that looks like really quickly and what a barbecue competition looks like?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's different, but for the most part, they kind of follow the same template. Mm-hmm. You get there Friday. Some comps will give you your meat. It's included in your entry fees. Some you bring your own meat, but they'll always have a judge go around and like check your meat, make sure it's sealed, make sure you didn't yeah. pre-cook your stuff. Yeah. Then you'll have a chef's meeting Friday night, and then they'll basically cut you loose and say, get going. And then it's time to fire up the pits, prep your meat. A lot of times we'll prep ribs and chicken and throw them in the, we have a salad cooler. It's like a fridge with mm-hmm. a top door in our comp trailer. We'll prep all of that, get it ready to go, inject the chicken, do whatever. Usually get the briskets on depending on how big they are. And then the next day you probably have either been up all night or yeah. you've alternated sleep schedules, and they have just different turn-ins. You know, normally they'll have the ancillaries first, like if they've got a margarita or Bloody Mary, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have like open, and you'll turn in, you know, maybe it's chicken, ribs, then brisket, or whatever order gotcha. That comp is going in. You'll just have turn-in times. And we have a little whiteboard, a little like expo marker whiteboard, and we'll write down brisket on, brisket wrap, brisket pull, brisket rest. Like, we'll have, like, all the times that we want to do everything. And, yeah, of course, temperature and every brisket's different. But, but you kind of get a feel for it after a while. And, like, once you're really used to your smoker, you kind of know how long everything's going to take. And it literally becomes almost, like, mechanical. Like, it's funny watching, especially if it's, like, me and Andy cooking. I'll be, like, working on my chicken and he'll be working on the ribs. It'll be time to wrap briskets. And we just kind of, we can like go and cook together without even talking to each other. We just sit there and like move in unison. Like, I'll pull this, drop it here. You wrap it, I'll pull it back, drop it on. We'll just do this without talking. And I'm like, man, we need to film this one of these days. Cause this is hilarious because we've done it together for so long that it's like a well-oiled machine.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then at the end of the day, you have a award ceremony and, you know, you got your ticket and you're hoping they call your number. You hope you give all your tickets away. And
so is there a big difference between barbecue in the competition, like comp barbecue versus backyard barbecue?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What are the big differences there?
So I think when you're competing, you are trying to create one thing. You are trying to create a perfect bite, potentially a single perfect bite. For a judge who's had barbecue plenty of times, very good barbecue plenty of times, when you're cooking in your backyard, you're cooking for friends, family, you know, people like with less discerning barbecue palates, if you will. And it doesn't so matter if it's perfect. I feel like with backyard barbecue, it's more about the experience and the fun and all of that. You know, well, we were talking earlier about membranes on ribs, whether we pull the membrane or not. You know, I think that comes from the competition world because it can create a tough bite so you don't get that perfect bite in a rib. In your backyard, your friends and family aren't going to be like, oh, I didn't get this perfect half moon of a bite in my rib. You know what I mean? Yeah. So there are some differences there. I think it really just comes down to like creating one perfect little piece of meat that somebody's going to try that's better than the team cooking next to you.
Yeah. And I've seen a little bit of things around where it's like that one perfect bite, it's like really, really rich. And so you could have one bite of that and it would be good, but like having an entire rack of ribs that is like doused in butter and brown sugar and having like the people who season like afterwards with like and rib glazes and all that stuff, it might be too much to eat more than, you know, one rib.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people tell me like they hate judging, and I kind of feel the same way. Like, I like judging like open category, especially if they allow desserts, because then you get a little sweet, a little savory, a little this. Yeah, but man, judging ribs, judging brisket, you get worn out. It's a lot of salt. There's a lot of MSG. There's a lot of fat.
The secret weapon to barbecue. You're like, MSG.
By the time you're done, your mouth's like, oi, like I'm over it. But, you know, it's a fun world, you know.
Does it get harder to judge after you do a couple rounds?
Yeah.
To where you're it's all starting to blend together.
Yeah, my palate gets wrecked. Like, I don't particularly care for it. I like it at like non-sanctioned competitions where it's more fun. People put a little bit more flair in it. I don't compete for like the pro level stuff or judge at the pro level stuff because that's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
But how many competitions have you participated in?
I have no idea.
Countless.
She can't even count. Literally more than she can even.
Yeah, I have no idea. It's 10 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And how many would you say you roughly do a year?
8 to 12. Wow. Sometimes more. It's like 120, sometimes less.
So like 120 comps.
Yeah, maybe. And then there's some that Andy's done without me, and there's some that, I don't know. I don't even know. I never thought about it before. Yeah,
that's cool.
I guess I should probably like find that and be like.
So you have an exact number.
Yeah.
So the next time that you're on a podcast.
Do you have a go-to like recipe when you go into it? Okay. Or is it like, we're going to try something new or we're...
No.
I've tried and true.
I've tried something new in competition before, and it's never worked out in my favor. Yeah. No, you never try it out at the comp. You try it out beforehand to see if it works. My chicken recipe, I've got down to a science. I've got down to a like science. Like, it's not changing, and I keep winning, so I'm like, I'm just gonna keep
then
doing
we're
that. Yeah,
gonna leave it there.
But it also, it's interesting because the competition world has evolved over time. Like, the way we used to compete 10 years ago and the way we compete now, like, isn't the same. Like, I feel like so many more people have done it. Maybe the emergence of social media, maybe, I don't know what it is, but it has gotten harder, like, honestly, to hit like the way we used to hit, like win the way we used to. And I think it's just like evolved, kind of like gotten more and more complex, just like anything else does. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and especially when it's opened up to a lot more people. A lot more people are throwing their hats in the ring.
Yeah.
These people who probably wouldn't beforehand and maybe go crazy on a barbecue TikTok that blows up overnight, and then they're like, oh, maybe I'll look more into this.
Well, look at Michael Jordan to LeBron James. It's a perfect analogy. You know, like Michael Jordan in his day was the GOAT, is still the GOAT, arguably to this day. But a lot of people would say LeBron James is the GOAT. But what he does now is because of the path that Jordan paved back in the day. You can kind of like do a comparable thing with just about anything, but barbecue's, you know, not any different.
Well, and I think the barbecue industry has become more accessible overall with pellet grills. Like, there was a large barrier of entry and a huge learning curve when it came to cooking on offsets and barrel smokers and things like that. And so pellet grills kind of brought that into where you could learn the fundamentals of barbecue. And then when you want to step up to those other challenges, you can do it. You're like, okay, now I just need to take what I learned here and put it on an offset, and it's about the same. I need to learn some fire management. I need to learn how the smoker runs, but it just seems a lot more accessible. More and more people are doing low and slow barbecue than probably ever before.
Oh, absolutely. No, and I totally agree. And it's funny because I was, you know, obviously the opposite, and I got, you know, into the pellet grill game, and I was very skeptical. Yeah. I won't lie, which I think a lot of pit masters or whatever you want to call us were.
Because you were coming from an offset and going to a pellet grill.
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm managing my own fire. I'm going to cook on an offset. Yeah. Like, I'm burning wood, you know, and, you know, all of that. And then, you know, kind of as things evolved, like, I didn't get my first pellet grill till late 21. And then I got the Woodwind, you know, right after that. And I actually learned pretty much how to cook on a pellet grill on the Camp Chef Woodwind, the original one. And there was a little bit of a barrier of entry for me. I was like, what smoke level do I set it at? And I would still, like, I rely a lot on, like, going and checking it, going and using my probe. Like, the idea of just having a probe running the whole time, and I don't have to check, is it out of pellets? It's not out of pellets. I'm like, I don't know. It was weird for me because I was so used to tending a pit all night long. Then the pellet grill was like, I feel like I'm cheating. But now, especially with the Woodwind Pro that's come out, I can add the chunks, I can add the charcoal, I can add that flavor that I love with that real, like, super, like, heavy level of smoke that I like from my offset on a pellet grill. And I mean, like I said, I was one of those skeptical stick burners, but I think I've kind of evolved a little bit. Like, I'm still never gonna not have an offset.
I'm never not
gonna have a barrel. Like, I love it because it's my craft that I worked for years to learn how to do, but I love having both because there are different times and places for different things.
What surprises me being in this industry is there's so much competition between brands or between styles of cooking. But when you really talk to people, they're like, oh yeah, I have like five different grills. Yeah. Like,
I have 32.
You have 32.
Well, I mean, you're also a grill reviewer too. So.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So as much as loyalty there is to whether it's a brand or like barrel cookers or offsets or pellet grills, there still is also just like, it's a tool. Like, and some people want to use this tool this weekend and this tool the next weekend. And it's interesting because growing up, I'm like, you have one grill on your back patio. That's how, you know, but it's not like that anymore.
Yeah. And I like cooking different things on different things, like things on different grills, you know, like I find that some things are better here, better there. Like, I will never not have a barrel. I love having a barrel. And usually, like, I will put my chicken on the pellet grill, let it smoke till it gets, you know, 135, 140. I'll flip it over to the barrel and like get that nice crispy skin and that smoke flavor at the end. So you get that like burn. That's a really great combo, honestly, that I found. I'm like, this, I dig this.
Yeah. It's like at the end of the day, the barbecue really is all about the food and like coming together, families, friends coming together, eating delicious food. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what it's cooked on as long as it's being cooked and it's delicious and you're bringing people together.
Yeah.
Right. And so like you said, there's a ton of this brand loyalty amongst people, but really we're just trying to make some delicious food and hang out with our friends and family.
I totally agree, and I don't like the competition where it's like people, like, every time I cook on a pellet grill, I get those, you know, going back to social media, you get those comments like, that's an easy, what do they call it,
easy bake oven.
I was like, just go look at the videos pinned to my profile and you can see what else I cook on. Like, I cook on everything, you know. And I actually think that is part of what I'm proud of about my channel, is that there's something for a lot of different people. Like, I do recipes in my kitchen, I do recipes on barrels, kettles, Kamados, pellets, offsets, vaults, you name it. Like, I cook on open fire, crosses, like whole cows on crosses. I have a little bit of something for everyone. And so when I get questions like, hey, can you show me how to cook a brisket on a kettle, Sure. Yeah. Let me explain how to do that. Can I show me how to cook a brisket on a pellet grill? Sure. Let me show you how to do that. You know, I enjoy having that kind of flexibility with my channel because I get to show people a lot of different things. And do I have my preferences? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, I want to be able to show anybody, no matter what they have in their backyard, how to get the desired outcome mm-hmm. they want with the food they want. Like, how do I cook this on what I have without telling them, no, you got to go buy everything I've got, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, it's all about the food and making that as good as possible. Mm-hmm. And you know, like you can combine different things and there's different tools for different jobs, but I think that's really, really important.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be complicated, you know, have fun with it. It's always the first rule.
So now that we've, you know, established you as, you know, barbecue professional here. Let's move on to another segment called the barbecue courtroom.
We're doing barbecue courtroom?
Barbecue courtroom. Lucas, we need to find some courtroom music in the back.
Got it.
Courtroom. Am I on the stand?
No, so what we're going to do is we're going to read to you a scenario, and then you're going to tell us what you think about the scenario.
Oh, so I'm like the jury.
Yeah, so you're the jury.
Oh.
And the judge. We have in transit a judge wig that we were going to have.
I'm really glad it didn't make it here because...
and we were going to have a meat tenderizer.
Oh, that's awesome.
for that. But Cade has a situation for you, a barbecue situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's going to present to you the evidence and the burden of proof.
I think I'm going to call an audible and we're going to talk about this one.
Okay, do it.
The other one was kind of an easy answer. Oh, so
okay, we're going to test you on here then, Brianna.
All right, so this one... Especially because I think you can add some perspective here as a female. I'm going to change the name of this to Am I the Jerk?
Am I the Jerk?
Yeah.
AITJ.
AITJ. Yeah.
It says, we had a propane grill that I bought, but I had to sell it because my dog would lick the exposed grease tray daily. Just a bad design. I decided I wanted a pellets grill to smoke stuff, but the wife said she hates the smell of smoke and doesn't like the taste in her food. I used to smoke stuff in our Big Green Egg, and it really did make the house reek of smoke. I explained with pellet grills you can use high heat and avoid smoky flavors, and I bought a box fan to keep outside and push smoke away from any cracks in our windows. She thinks I've disrespected her by going through with it, getting a pellet grill over her protests instead of getting another propane grill. She also says she dislikes even slightly smoky flavors and doesn't think a box fan will help from making the house smell like smoke. I told her she doesn't need to eat anything she doesn't want to, and that we can always prepare her food on the skillet if she really ends up not liking it. I also don't see why a box fan wouldn't stop smoke from coming in. She says I don't care what she thinks, and feels like I've accommodated, and doesn't feel like I've accommodated her concerns. I paid entirely for both grills. Am I the jerk?
I mean, she sounds exhausting. I'm sorry. I'm like the worst female to ask because I'm like on the dude's side over here. Like, I mean, let's be honest. Like, you're not, maybe when you fire it up, you've got a decent amount of smoke, but you're not like billowing smoke off a pellet grill like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
unless it's on the Woodwind Pro, you know.
Oh, yeah. But even then, you can avoid it. You know what I mean? If you wanted to, you don't have to put wood chunks in there. I'm just wondering how close it is to their house.
Yeah, you could move it like 5-10 feet away.
Yeah,
and it'd be fine.
It doesn't, because I don't have that issue, and I have a lot of grills. And I don't think my house smells like barbecue, you know, unless I brought a brisket in and I'm slicing it. Like, my house doesn't smell like smoke. So, I don't know. I mean, she can handle what... She can handle her skillet food and he can handle his barbecue. And I don't know. I don't want to be like, I don't want to, you know, be mean, but I'm just like, man, just let the guy have the grill, man. Yeah. Like, let the man grill.
Yeah. I mean, in tradition.
Let him cook.
Yeah. And traditionally, you know, it's normally the woman who cooks and the man who eats. But if he's out there cooking, I feel like that would be like my wife. She would be down at all times for me to cook instead of her. I mean, I normally am the one who's cooking instead of her, but it seems like, you know, if the man is out there cooking, you know, that seems like it takes a little bit off of her.
Yeah, but if she truly doesn't like food with like any smoky flavor whatsoever, like I can get that, but I mean, I don't think he was saying he wanted to cook every single meal for the rest of their lives on it. But the guy can have a hobby, you know, like, you know, he can meal prep his chicken for the week or something, you know what I mean? I don't think he's the jerk. And I don't think she's the jerk either, though. I just think they need to maybe communicate a little better.
Yeah. And if she doesn't like smoky flavor, there's bigger issues there.
Yeah. She's just wrong. No, she doesn't like smoky flavor.
No, my mom actually doesn't like hugely smoky flavor. Like, I smoked a meatloaf and it was too much because that, like, the ground beef really
be
picks
too
up
much.
a lot of that smoke. And I did it on a charcoal gravity fed kind of thing. So there was a lot of smoke flavor in there. And she was like, it's too smoky for me. But she loves, you know, brisket, smoked chicken, especially when we do them on the pellet grill in like a lower smoke setting. Because, you know, on the woodwind, we can adjust it based on like what smoke level we want. We'll keep it lower when we're doing stuff for her because she just doesn't like as much smoke.
Oh, that's interesting because she's wrong.
She's wrong.
No. People can have their own. They can have their own thing. And that's one of the really nice things is where you can dial it in.
Yeah.
Well, too. And I think it evolves too because like when I first got my pellet grill, my wife wasn't a huge fan. She didn't really like the food off of it, and maybe that was just my cooking, but. No, it's gotten to the point now where we've made enough on it that she's really liked that she's asked me like, hey, can you show me how to use this so I can cook like chicken breast when you're gone in the smoker? And I'm like, yeah, that's absolutely. And I think palates just evolve. Like, I think when you first taste real smoky food, it's new. It maybe doesn't taste right because you've never experienced it before.
Yeah.
And then once you have really good barbecue, really good smoked food, you realize that it really does add kind of a...
Well, and he had mentioned the guy, the AITJ guy, had mentioned he had a big green egg before. I mean, that's smoke. Like, that's going to be a smoky flavor because you're literally cooking your food right on top of a bed of lump charcoal with wood chunks potentially. Like, and it's coming right up through the food. It's the same with a barrel. Like, I get a lot more smoke on my barrel than I would, like, on... like my offset, anything where that smoke is literally just coming right up over the meat.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think she should give it a try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she may like it. Maybe she just had really bad barbecue.
She should have got an Apex. You can have the gas grill and the smoker. Poor I mean,
all those dose. You know?
Little product right there.
Whoa, hey, wow. Thank you. Sponsored by Camp Chef. We are Camp Chef. So
we're sponsored because our paychecks come from Camp Chef.
Not mine.
This is true too.
No, but actually, you should reply to that thread and be like, have you seen the Camp Chef Apex?
Ooh, yeah. There you go.
There's a perfect best of both worlds.
All right, so what is your final decision? Who's in the wrong here or what we need?
Yeah, I think she needs to chill out a little bit, if I'm being honest.
I think they need two grills.
Yeah.
Probably.
They should
probably
have
maybe they don't have enough money for two grills.
You can get a decent propane grill for not very much.
Yeah. You can go to Wally World.
Yeah.
And go find one there for pretty cheap.
Yeah.
But
seems like a pretty easy fix. Just don't eat the food off of it.
Yeah, you don't have to eat it.
Yeah.
All right.
In the words of every kid in an Apple Jacks commercial, eat what you like.
Eat what you like.
I was just thinking about how apple and cinnamon would... be awesome on barbecue.
I've made apple cinnamon ribs.
Have you?
I've actually never done them for social media. I need to do them.
We have two extra ribs out there cooking right now.
That sounds
we
so good.
We do.
Or maybe we can go get another one, another rack and throw it on there.
It was a brown sugar based rib. Dude. You're smoking southern smoke.
Something southern.
I put that's the brown sugar is like the number one ingredient. I could make them.
Ooh.
Should we do it?
Let's do it. After this, we'll go.
They're good. They're sweet. They're very, very sweet, but yeah.
Is it just a glaze or a sauce you add to it?
So I take a can of apple pie filling and and put it in the wrap when I wrap it.
No way.
And yeah, it gives them like the cinnamon apple flavor. And then when you flip them over and like finish them off, you just kind of let them like tack up and they're sticky, they're sweet, but it's really, really good.
Oh,
I've also
amazing.
Done them with grape jelly before.
Grape jelly?
I've been getting a lot of hate about my grape jelly lately. So I put grape jelly in my baked beans, like a ton of stuff. Like I use like canned baked beans and then I add like mustard and grape jelly and like all kinds of stuff to it, like jalapenos, and they taste really good because it just adds a touch of sweetness that kind of balances the tang from the mustard and the spice from the jalapenos, and it creates a really good flavor profile. Nope, internet didn't like that. And then
if you'd have told me, hey, pick 50 things to put in your baked beans, grape jelly wouldn't have made the list.
Yeah. I don't think in the top 100.
Well, and then I did hot dog burnt ends, and I put half barbecue sauce, half grape jelly when I wrapped them. And I kind of did this one to myself. myself because of who I am as a person. I started it with like me squeezing a thing of Welch's grape jelly across these hot dogs. I said, if you're not putting grape jelly, if you're not putting grape jelly on your hot dogs, you're doing it wrong. It was a very typical Brianna video.
That's just good content creation.
But yeah, I mean, they're really good because we've done it with ribs before. But you know those little like meatballs you eat out of a crock pot?
Oh, yeah.
Like grape jelly and barbecue sauce. Really? It's a really common combination.
Really?
Like people thought I was like off my rocker and I'm like, no, this is a thing and it's good.
I may
good.
Think you're off your rocker,
but it's sweet. I mean, you add sweetness, you know?
Yeah. It makes sense, but some reason grape jelly does not, it doesn't sound like it would be good on barbecue, but
just does not compute.
But like when you think about it, it's sweet and it's fruity and I'm sure it works
like maple syrup. Maple syrup's good with barbecue stuff.
I was so funny yesterday in the store and I grabbed like not maple syrup. I grabbed log cabin breakfast syrup. And he's like, what are you doing? I was like, I need this for my ribs. He's like, you need it for your ribs? I was like, yeah, my competition ribs. I need log cabin maple syrup.
Specifically, not Mrs. Butterworth's.
I had to grab log cabin. It has to be log cabin. And that might be a little
bit
of competition.
Is it real maple syrup?
No.
No.
It's like
it's the good stuff. It's fake.
Yeah. It is shelf stable though. It is one of the few ones that is shelf stable. You don't have to keep in the refrigerator. So I figure maybe it's a little bit more authentic because of that.
Yeah.
Don't know. It's probably just a little bit of competition superstition. You hit on it once, you never change it again kind of thing. But yeah, log cabin maple syrup on ribs with butter and more seasoning. And you just let it kind of sit in there. So the butter melts and the syrup breaks down. And it just creates this beautiful, like, sweet glaze on the ribs. And it tastes out of this world. They're sweet, but they're good.
That's one thing that surprised me as I started learning about barbecue and, like, doing barbecue is, like, you think of barbecue as, like, savory. And then you make a recipe and you're like, there's like 3 cups of brown sugar on these ribs.
Well, like beef, lamb, chicken, things like that. And pork, you can do savory pork too.
Yeah.
But pork really lends itself well to like sweetness.
Yeah.
Especially like pulled pork and ribs. They've got a good fat content. They've got good flavor. You know, the pork flavor isn't inherently overbearing. So you can really do a lot with it. Like with a brisket, I'm not going to add, you know, grape jelly on a brisket.
Well, I mean, not with that attitude. You're not.
Not with that attitude. You're not.
Yeah. Maybe you should try it.
Yeah. I'll lose my queen of brisket title.
I'll pay you $100 from my wallet personally if you go to your next competition and you put grape jelly on your brisket.
Add like 4 more zeros maybe.
$100. Well, we can add them to the opposite side, so we can do $100 and 0.000000.
$100 doesn't even cover the brisket.
Yeah,
probably. That's probably true. All right,
well, I actually had a question real quick.
Okay, great.
So you're from Texas.
Yeah,
Tejas.
Are you, let's talk about regional barbecue.
Okay.
Being from Texas, are you Texas barbecue all the way, or do you like St. Louis style, Kansas City,
Carolina?
I get this question a lot. I think it's really depends on what I'm cooking.
Okay.
But one thing a lot of people don't realize about Texas that I want to start with is that Texas in itself has multiple different regions of barbecue.
Does it? I did not know that.
When you think of Texas barbecue, I actually wrote a whole article on this. So I can send it to you.
We'll put it in the show
source.
Notes.
Yeah, I wrote it. No, I did. I wrote an entire article on the regions of Texas barbecue. I'm proud of it. It's a good article. When you think of Texas barbecue, you think of salt, pepper, and post oak. You know, that's central Texas. That's Austin.
Salt, pepper,
like,
and smoke the hell out of it?
Yeah, you know, that is like Aaron Franklin barbecue. You know what I mean? But Texas is such a big state that if you go further to the east, you know, even like to where I am in Houston, I'm getting further east. We get a lot more sweetness, a lot more sauces, saucy ribs, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you go down into like the valley, the Rio Grande Valley and all that, you get a lot of Hispanic influence because it's closer to Mexico. Mm-hmm. So you get a lot more like the barbacoa, a lot more cooking over mesquite, like more open fire, maybe things like that. But yeah, depending on where you go up in the hill country, it's really more grilling than it is barbecue. You'll see things like pork steaks. You'll see a lot of like salt and pepper sausages. There's a huge Czech population in Texas.
Really?
So you get a lot of like sausages.
And there's a place
like
right
that.
Outside Waco called the Czech Stop with really good kolaches.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic kolaches.
Yeah.
What?
Fantastic. Huh. Yes. No idea. But yeah, no, Texas is just so big and there's so many different cultures of barbecue in Texas and I'm probably missing some. You know, I hit on the big four main regions, but there's more like sub regions and you get closer to Louisiana, you get a lot of Cajun influence, you know, because Texas and Louisiana were like brother and sister.
Yeah.
You know, but as far as like an American regional barbecue style, I would say, yeah, I lean into the Texas thing because that's where I'm from. I'm really known for like brisket and beef ribs and all those really big beefy cuts, which by definition mm-hmm. are kind of a Texas thing because we have a lot of cattle.
Yeah.
But when I do a pork butt, I would say I'd actually do it more kind of, well, I really do it kind of competition style. You know, I'm trying to get that sweet, that's that good flavor and everything. But I would say I lean more into like sort of a Carolina style. My ribs are probably more Kansas City style because I like them saucy. I like them sweet, things like that. I like Memphis ribs too, though. I do dry rub ribs here and there, more of like a Memphis style. Mm-hmm. It just depends on what I'm cooking and what I'm trying to emulate. We're making Alabama white sauce today.
Oh, heck yeah. I am so excited.
Yeah, I'm going to smoke some chicken and I'm making my my homemade Alabama white sauce, and we're gonna get this awesome like dunking shot.
Yeah, I think that one thing we should make for people that don't do barbecue, like there's so many ways to do it. Mm-hmm. Like
we just do a whole, just be like, all right, we're gonna take one rack of ribs, we're gonna make them 17 different ways based on where we're from.
Like if you've barbecued something and it tastes good to you, you've done it right. Like there's no, unless you're doing a competition.
Yeah,
there's no like checkbox of like, this was a good enough brisket. Like, no, if it's good and you like it,
great.
And it has grape jelly on it, no matter how you prepare it, like it's, if you, if it's good.
There's absolutely no wrong or right way to barbecue.
Yeah.
And
if you're on the internet, you'll get the wrong opinion. You'll think there's a right and wrong way.
No matter what you do.
Well, and I joke around like the best brisket comes from Texas, you know, that kind of thing.
Just because
that's my thing, or this is the best I've ever had. Like that's my hook. That's what I do. And like that's, but I think a lot of people know that like, okay, well, you know, she's creating videos on the internet. But when I talk to people, like I posted a steak the other day and I said, hey, how do you like your steak cooked? And everyone's commenting whatever. And I put, well, I'm a medium rare kind of girl, but I'll cook your steak any way you like it because I'm not a jerk.
Except for well done.
Yeah. No, I will. If somebody comes over my house and they want to weld it, I'll probably go a little bit medium well, you know, questions. But a good cook can make any steak taste good.
Yep.
And B,
butter can make any steak taste good.
Yeah, it's just rude not to cook something the way somebody likes, especially with steaks and burgers and something. You know, like if you have friends over, you have people over, you're cooking for people, like you don't go to a restaurant and have a chef tell you like, no, I will not cook that medium. Yeah. It needs to be rare. And I mean, you know, unless you're in a super high end restaurant, but then it's kind of, you don't get to pick your steak temperature. You're ordering what the chef's cooking. But most restaurants, you know, they're going to cook it the way somebody likes to eat it, because at the end of the day, like that is what food is for. It is sustenance. You want somebody to enjoy what they're eating.
Yeah. That's what's funny about the internet is they could be like, this is my favorite way to make brisket. And everyone's like, no, it's not. Yeah.
You're terrible.
You're doing it wrong.
Oh no. My brisket I just did with the bacon grease. I was like, we're in Texas, so you know we're burning post oak. And I got all these comments like, no, mesquite is king in Texas. I'm like, oh god, this got onto South Texas TikTok. I left Central Texas TikTok, you know.
Yeah. And but then at that point you're like, oh great, thank you for the comments.
Yeah,
we appreciate the engagement.
Oh, I don't, I say mesquite's nasty in an offset. That's what I replied. I was like, mesquite's gross in an offset. Yeah. I'll do it open fire.
Mesquite's very powerful flavor.
Yeah, it's a lot.
All right, I wanted to go through, do a couple of rapid fire questions for you. Okay.
Okay.
Is that good? Okay. First and foremost, there's been a lot of talk in barbecue lately about dirty smoke versus clean smoke. And it makes a big difference. What are your thoughts on the clean versus dirty smoke debate?
I've done multiple videos on this. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, when they start cooking, they think those like big billowing clouds of white smoke are like a good sign and that's what you want. But in reality, a lot of times you can be working with dirty smoke. And dirty smoke comes from a couple of different things, but most of the time, the problem is going to be in your firebox. On pellet grills, you're not really going to have an issue with dirty smoke unless your pellets are wet, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had an issue with it. But on a traditional offset, wet wood can create that, you know, just having too much heat in your firebox, or if your wood's smoldering, you're just going to get that sort of like, that bitter flavor from the smoke. You know, it's the same as like, okay, if you have a campfire and it's burning good and the smoke's going and you guys are just enjoying your time, well, as it starts to smolder, you know how it gets that really dark smoke that gets in your eyes, mm-hmm. then you have to start walking around the fire and it's burning.
Yeah.
That's dirty smoke. That's a good way to put it for people that don't barbecue. It's like, it's when that fire isn't getting enough oxygen, because you want a perfect balance of like oxygen and heat, fire. You want everything to be balanced, so it's creating clean smoke that we cook with.
And so you're trying to avoid dirty smoke at all costs.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I want like thin, blue, clean smoke. Like when I'm firing up the pit, or if I just added a split or whatever. Yeah, you go through ebbs and flows through the cooking process. But yeah, typically I want to open my smoker and the camera shouldn't even hardly pick up smoke. You should see like a faint Like people will say, I've had people comment, the pit's not even on. Your offset's not even burning. I'm like, okay, well, why is the brisket cooked then, people? Like, it's because the smoke is clear because of, you know, fire management.
Yeah, and the reason I ask is because there's been a little bit of a discourse lately. Like, I think I've seen it mainly from two spots. One's Jerby Barbecue. Who's that? Oh, crap, what's Goldie's?
Goldie's.
He's the head chef at, or the...
Started Goldie's.
He started Goldie's, which was the number one barbecue in Texas from Texas Monthly.
Texas Monthly.
And Jeremy Yoder, they both are saying that adding a little bit of dirty smoke, like right at the beginning, can actually be beneficial.
You're naturally going to add dirty smoke at the beginning, of course. I mean,
well, I think a lot of people wait
pit,
and like, oh, it's not ready to put the meat on.
Oh, let it get completely clean. Oh,
you're
yeah.
cooking that thing for 16 to 18 hours. Like, yeah. Just throw it in. It's going to, like you said, it's going to ebb and flow throughout the cook.
Yeah, but I mean, I completely agree with them in that regard. But I think a lot of people, like, it's difficult for people that have been cooking for as long as we have, meaning me, Jeremy, or all that. Like, we obviously have gotten to a point in our craft where we're playing around with things. We want a little bit of dirty smoke. We know how to pull it back. We've got those fire management skills to where we can do that. When a lot of my content is geared towards beginners. So I'm trying to show someone who may have never cooked on an offset before, or maybe they have, you know, very little experience. I try to keep it like, you know, and yeah, they sound like blanket statements sometimes, but that's the best way to learn until you get to a point where you can get a little bit more complex with your cooking style. A little bit of like dirty smoke, if you will, or more powerful smoke, that kind of smolder flavor. Yeah, it can add a nice punch of smoke to your barbecue as long as you have the skills to be able to pull it back and clean it up and get back to a good, like properly managed fire.
That's
and not
really
everybody has that ability.
Interesting. Okay.
So it depends on who you're talking to and what you're trying to achieve. But I don't disagree with either of them. And Goldie's is delicious, so they know what they're doing.
See, that's my bucket list. I need to go down and try Goldie's. And if I could, I would love to play a round of Smash with
Jerby. Come down to Texas for like a week, and we'll do a little barbecue road trip.
That'd be so awesome.
We gotta go to Interstellar too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've actually heard really good things about Interstellar.
John Bates is a magician.
Yeah.
He does this pulled lamb. I don't know if you saw my lamb shoulder I did recently.
Yeah, I did see that.
It was because I went and had it at Interstellar, and it was the most succulent, delicious. My husband was with me. He goes, "This is the best meat I've ever put in my mouth at a barbecue restaurant." I said, "I'm glad you added that last part." It was truly like miraculous how good this meat was. Like it blew my mind. And so I went home and I replicated it. But I've already talked to him. I was like, "Hey, anytime I bring someone to Texas, you're going to be on my road trip." There's some places in DFW I love. There's places in San Antonio, obviously Houston, where I'm from. Mm-hmm. But we should go on a little like 1 week long barbecue road trip. I'm dead serious.
Oh, so are we.
Like, let's go. And I know a lot of the pit masters at a lot of the big places through, like, social media or through, you know, just time and everything. So,
That'd be sweet.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Why isn't lamb more of a barbecue staple?
Because it's gamey.
It's not, actually.
that's why I personally avoid it. It's because the lamb that I've had is gamey.
Okay, so I think the reason it's not more of a barbecue staple is... lamb in general is not a huge staple in America.
That's true.
You're not going to go to your local grocery store and find an abundance of lamb the way you would be for pork or chicken or whatever. But if you go to places like Australia, you can walk in and grab a lamb shoulder, a leg of lamb, a rack of lamb, everything, just throw it in your cart and go home. It's always going to be there.
Yeah.
I was talking to the owner of Smoke Barbecue Source, the website that I write for, and he lives in Australia. And I was like, "Oh, yeah." He's like, "Oh, you should do another lamb shoulder," because I had just done one. He's like, "That looks good. Do another one for the website." I said, "Okay, well, I'm going to have to order one online, get it shipped in, all that." He's like, "You can't just go buy a lamb shoulder." I was like, "I live in America. No." And I'm sure there's areas of the United States where you probably can. Maybe like ethnic stores, like stores that specialize in certain like regional culture, like regional foods.
Because lamb seems to be like... such a staple outside of the United States.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, honestly, like, I think a lot of people who have tried lamb and don't like it, maybe just don't like the way it was prepared. Like smoked lamb, especially I had never thought, I'd always done lamb like mid-rare, like rack of lamb, medium rare with chimichurri. My husband loves lamb. I do it all the time. I never even thought to take a lamb shoulder, because I'm not exposed to lamb very often, and smoke it basically like a pork butt, you know, low and slow till it shreds. It is amazing. It is absolutely delicious. And I did a leg of lamb like that on the offset the other day too, and it was equally as good. And I was like, man, this completely changed my perception of how versatile lamb can be. So And I followed Fan of Lamb, which is like the American Lamb Council or whatever. And I'm like, I'm going on a lamb crusade. Yeah. And then people have been
in their woolen tower.
People have been cooking a bunch of lamb and like tagging me in their videos now. And I'm like, I'm like the lamb crusader lately. And
I feel like if we got enough creators to start pushing lamb, the industry would fall.
We're going to push the lamb agenda. We're going to make lamb so happy.
And I sent it to Jess.
We're going to make the Council of Lamb.
The Council of Lamb.
They're not going to be sheepish about it anymore. They're going to...
Okay, I sent it to Jess Pryles. She's from Australia. And she's like, that's literally one of my favorite foods. I'm like, why don't you show it off more? Like, show it off. Yeah. It's really good. So, yeah, no, I'm going to be doing a lot more, especially like slow smoked pulled lamb, because it completely blew my mind.
Wow.
That's awesome. We need more lamb. That's the moral. Yeah. All right. A few more questions for you. One meat. The rest of your life, you can only eat one meat.
One animal or one cut?
One cut. One cut of meat. What would it be? Big questions.
One cut of meat.
One cut of meat the rest of your life.
The answer is brisket.
Actually, I was going to say brisket. Yeah. Honestly, like, I know that sounds so silly and everyone's going to roll their eyes like, oh, Brianna and her briskets. But yeah. I truly, genuinely love brisket. But it's just not very good for you. So think of eating that for the rest of my life. Like,
yeah. Oh, and you were saying that there's a lot you can do with brisket. You were talking about brisket burgers yesterday.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I was going with it. Like, I can create, but the problem is you can't really get brisket steaks are not ideal.
Yeah.
I would miss that.
That's true.
Probably a prime rib.
Prime rib?
Because I could cut it into steaks. I could turn it into burgers.
That's the correct answer.
I can cook it well done and use it to pull meat. And I know it's a waste of money, but hey, if I had to work with one cut, it would probably be a full 7-bone prime rib would be the cut that I choose. Oh. Is that cheating?
Nope, not at all. No. All right. If you had one tip for new people new to barbecue, what would your best tip be for anyone who's new to barbecue?
Don't get discouraged when you screw it up. I'm not going to say if, because you are going to screw up at some point. And a lot of people, I feel like, especially with like the complex cuts that take a long time, they get really discouraged. Like, this didn't taste good. I screwed this up and I can't do this and whatever. And I see it a lot in my comments, and it honestly, like, it bums me out so much, because I'm just like, no, try again. Like, it is a little bit of an art form. It is a craft. It does depend on what you're cooking on. Brisket, for example, not every brisket is the same. I've had some briskets that just sucked. They just sucked. And it wasn't anything that I did. Maybe it was. Maybe it was my pit. Maybe it was, the weather, the way, I don't know. But it happens. You know what I mean? Some people say it comes from older cows and things like that. Like, I just tell people, like, don't get discouraged when you mess it up the first time, because you're going to. And you may do 20 perfect and then screw one up. Don't get discouraged then either, because it's kind of part of it. You know, not everything you cook is going to be perfect. I've overcooked pasta. I mean, you can overcook anything. I know there's a lot more at stake when you're talking about $100 cut of meat versus $1 box of pasta.
At stake.
But just don't get discouraged and keep trying, keep learning, you know. And if it's not perfect, try again. Because at the end of the day, like, it doesn't have to be perfect. As long as it's edible and you're happy, just don't try to compare yourself to everybody else. Mm. And just keep working on you.
Yeah.
Just do you, boo.
Do you, boo.
All right.
Coming from not doing barbecue to working here and doing barbecue, I can tell you that the learning curve to barbecue is more intimidating than it is realistic. Like, once you kind of get the fundamentals down and you understand a little bit of what you're looking for, then you're like, okay, now I get it.
Yep.
Like, it, you're closer to good barbecue than you realize.
And I think a lot of people need to actually, like, break down and understand why we cook meat the way we do. Why do we cook brisket low and slow? Why do we cook pork butts low and slow? It's because that meat has a lot of connective tissue. It has a lot of fat. All of that has to break down. And once you start understanding, like, the concepts behind different types of meat, intramuscular fat versus intermuscular fat versus subcutaneous fat, understanding why we cook meats the way we do, that will help you a lot more than I think people even realize. Like, if you just take a little bit of time, just go watch my barbecue tips and tricks playlist. But for real, like, if you take the time to start understanding, then you can start to grow as a creator, because you'll understand exactly what you need to do, why you need to do it, and, you know, how you what you're looking for and what you're trying to accomplish.
Awesome. Yeah. I think it looks more intimidating than it really is.
Sure. You see,
so if you're,
doesn't have to be complicated.
If you're intimidated by it, you just got to get started.
Yeah, don't freak out. And your brisket doesn't have to look like
a meteorite.
Mine. It doesn't have to look like Aaron Franklin's. It doesn't have to look like, you know, your ribs don't have to look like Heath Riles. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to strive for perfection. Just strive for something that's edible that you like, that you enjoyed cooking.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then one more question for you. Best barbecue side dish.
I'm a potato salad and coleslaw girl. Hmm. I'm simple. I want cold potato salad, cold coleslaw next to hot meat.
Yeah.
I'm easy.
I mean, I agree. Potato salad is. We talked about this on our last one, but potato salad, yeah. Anything but cream corn, really.
I love cream corn.
Kyle's not a cream corn guy.
Well, I don't like canned cream corn. I like cream corn with the cream cheese and peppers and all that, and I throw it on the smoker.
That would probably be a lot better. But yeah. I think the ones that I've had are just from the can. But we won't go into the cream corn again.
Good cream corn is really good.
All right. Do you have any other questions?
No, I think we covered everything.
All right. Brianna, where can everyone find you?
Married to Barbecue.
On everything?
Everything. Literally just Google Married to Barbecue and all of it will come up.
Awesome. So you got it on TikTok, Instagram.
TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, Pinterest, all of it.
You should open a barbecue joint in a chapel.
And you have to have Elvis serving brisket.
maybe it could be in the books.
Awesome. And you have a new seasoning out?
I do, yes. I collaborated with PS Seasoning.
Everyone's playing what that is?
Yeah, PS Seasoning is a really big seasoning company up north. They do sausages and seasonings, and I'd worked with them and I'd tried some of their seasonings and rubs, absolutely loved a lot of their blends, and I'd told them, I was like, you know, I kind of want to come out with my own, but I don't know if I have the time. I don't know if I want to handle, you know, do I want to ship it out of my house? Do I want to have a 3PL? What do I want to do? And they were nice enough to be like, hey, why don't we do a co-branded rub? So we went through a bunch of different seasoning options and I decided I wanted a really good beef rub, you know, for steaks, briskets. It's really a steak rub, but it's great on any cut of beef, lamb, things like that. Salt, pepper, and glitter.
Salt, pepper, and glitter.
It's called Say I Moo. And
what kind of flavor does the glitter add?
Absolutely none. And it's not really a glitter. It's a shimmer. It's just, it makes the salt kind of shimmer a little bit. I was just playing into the, you know, married to barbecue with the ring.
I love it.
But Say really, honestly, we really focused on the flavor. The glitter, yeah, it's a little gimmicky and fun, but it doesn't make your brisket sparkle once it's cooked and all of that.
Dang it.
But it's, salt, pepper, garlic, you know, a lot of bell pepper, celery, things like that. Really good beefy flavors. So I think you'd enjoy it. It's good.
Oh, that sounds good.
And then you're going to try it. I've got it on beef ribs downstairs. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And then where can people get that?
Link in my bio. PS Seasoning.
PS Seasoning.
It's in a number of retailers. I don't have the list handy, but it's in a number of retailers, mostly up north.
Okay.
But yeah, psseasoning.com. Yes. I'm right there on the front page now.
And then... Lucas is pulling it up. And then...
there I am. There's my face.
Say I
right
move.
There. And
oh, right next to Marco.
Yeah,
next
Marco. Marco well. Dropped his, too. His is called the Eye Opener. It is a coffee and bourbon rub. And it's got, ancho chilies in it. It is killer on pulled pork. I did the beefy one. And his would be good on beef, too. He did a chuck roast with it. That looked amazing. But, yeah, his is like that coffee, bourbon, ancho, and mine's salt, pepper, and glitter. Put a ring on it.
Awesome. And then you do some grill reviews for Smoke Barbecue Source.
I do.
So if you want to see any of those, you can go on to Smoke Barbecue Source if you have any questions on grills.
Yep. People will ask me, what do you think about this grill? And I'll just send them my review. Well, my review is the number one Google search result, so here you go.
Yeah, this is what I think. But, okay. Anything else?
Nope. Good?
Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, this was fun, honestly. I really enjoyed talking with you guys.
Good.
Yeah, and now too. You guys are stuck coming to Texas and going on a barbecue
tour. Yeah, we got to go on a tour.
That'll have to be a podcast episode.
We'll come down and do a section in each different...
We need everyone to comment so that we can... Push it through the boss.
Yeah, through marketing.
So we can get some budget for it. That'd be great. Thank you.
Tour to Q.
Tour to Q.
Tour to Q.
All right. Thank you. And we'll see you guys next time.